That's some of it. Or we argue the difference between penal substitution theology and atonement or Christus Victor. See, you're bored already, right? But that's a party. But anyway, we're sitting there talking about missions, and these guys are bemoaning the colonial nature of missions. What that means is they say, you know, we have this thing where we send the white man over and he converts the people, but we don't really convert them to Jesus as much as we convert them to Western culture. And we're westernizing them, and we're denominationalizing them. We're not really teaching them the gospel. And I went, oh, well, let me tell you what we do. Because we got this covered. You know, we support this institute in Honduras, and they train indigenous preachers to go back to their village and start a church. It's not about sending the white man, like you just said. And they're like, wow, that's cool. What is that called? I talked about that a little bit. I said, the other thing we support is something called EEM, which is Eastern European Missions, but that name doesn't even cover anymore what they do. They are not just covering Eastern Europe anymore. They've moved into parts of Asia and the Middle East, and I'll let Monty tell you about all that. But what these people do, their primary job is that they put the Word of God in people's original languages in their hands. And it's not about try to be more like Americans. It's about, here's what God says in a way that you can understand. And they went, wow, that's cool. And I gave them your numbers, Monty. I don't know if any of them called you, but probably not. But anyway, I say all that to say, you're in for a treat this morning, because when you hear what EEM is doing, if you're like me, you get excited, because they are doing an amazing work. And after we hear Monty, we're going to still have our invitation. We'll still have elders and their wives at the back of the room to pray with you if you have needs, because that's something that we believe is important. But then after that, we're going to take up a special collection to support this work. And I think once you hear about it, you're going to want to be a part of that. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Mr. Monty Tuttle.
Good morning. Am I on good here? Hello, hello. There I am. All right. It is awesome to be here with you today. It's great to be back with you. I want to begin today the way I always begin. I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the Huntsville Church of Christ for your partnership with EEM. For so long. It means more to us than I could possibly put into words to have great partners like you. So, thank you. Now, I have good news to share. Anybody in the room interested in hearing some good news today? Okay. You are in the right place. I have some really, really good news for you this morning. The title of my message this morning is How Great is Our God. And hopefully when you leave today, you leave here saying and thinking, wow, God's greater than I even thought. That will be my objective. Our theme this year at EEM is a new day. It is truly a new day. Jeff was talking about God is moving and stretching us outside our normal operating boundaries. It is a new day at EEM for a lot of reasons. So just for a moment this morning, I want to talk about that word, new. You remember in John chapter 2, Jesus performs his first miracle. Everybody knows what that was, right? First miracle. Jesus changed the water into wine at a wedding. They ran out of wine. He changed water into wine. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but I want to say this. When Jesus did this, understand something. This was not just a tweak of the water. He transformed the water into something completely new. Now, I've traveled to Europe several times with my work with EEM, and in Europe, I have been introduced to the wonders of sparkling water. Over there, now I know we have that here, but I really hadn't been introduced to that. And there's some great benefits to the sparkling water, at least for me. So you go to a restaurant in Europe in many places, and you say, what do you want to drink? And I say, I want water. And they will say, with gas or without? Literally. I say, with gas. I like my water with gas. And so I enjoyed that over there. So I come back, and I want to go to the store and get some sparkling water. Well, when I get there, I realize, like everything else in America, you got options. I've got this from the Dasani website. Dasani offers sparkling water in these flavors: strawberry guava, raspberry lemonade, blood orange, black cherry, berry, pear, kiwi, Meyer lemon, lime, pink grapefruit, pomegranate, blueberry, watermelon, white peach, tropical pineapple. And then somewhere in there is just the regular sparkling water with nothing added. And sometimes it's hard to find in the store the regular sparkling water, which I like better. Now, here's my point. All of these flavors, it's just a tweak of the water. Somebody just added some flavoring in to the water. But what Jesus did to the water was different. Jesus took water and transformed it completely into something new, into wine. Now, I'm not a chemist, so don't hold me to all of this, but I understand basically Jesus started with, you know, H2O, and then he somehow pulled some carbon atoms out of the clear blue nothing, added them in, added some more carbon and hydrogen atoms, put them in completely different chemical formulas. Like I said, I'm not a chemist, but you get the idea. This is not just water with some flavoring added. I talked to Jeff earlier this week. He said, yeah, we're not making Kool-Aid here. Jesus transformed the water chemically into something completely new. How awesome is that? How do you do that? God. We call it a miracle. I would like to share with you some more amazing, awesome stuff that Jesus can do. I know you guys have been talking about money. Sometimes talking about money can make people feel a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it makes me feel uncomfortable. Money is kind of what Jeff mentioned. Money's kind of one of those necessary evils in our life. Money can seem very cold and soulless. You know what I mean? We even call it cold hard cash, right? But then God calls us to give that cold hard cash, that seemingly cold and soulless money. Now at that wedding, they'd run out of wine, and that's a huge embarrassment in that culture to the host. The host of that wedding was probably a relative or a very close friend of Mary's, which prompted her to nudge Jesus a little bit to do something about it. And Jesus begins his involvement. Mary says, do something about this. They've run out of wine. They don't have any wine. And so Jesus begins his involvement by saying, give me some water. Had these big jars. Give me some water. Fill the jars with water. Water. Something as routine and everyday as water. Jesus says, give me that and watch what I can do with it. And then he changes it and transforms it into exactly what was needed at that moment for the kingdom. You see? Jesus later calls it the new wine of the kingdom, actually. Jesus can take something as everyday and routine as water and transform it into exactly what's needed for the kingdom. Jesus does this with other stuff too. Jesus, for example, here, Jesus can take money here and transform it into ministry. Jesus can take the money that you give and transform it into mission. Jesus can take the money that you give and transform that money into changed lives. Jesus can take the money that you give and transform it into kingdom power. How great is our God? Now, you guys here, I've shared this with you before. Jeff shared with us about the Baxter Institute. You give money, it's sent to the Baxter Institute in Honduras, and then God takes that money and transforms that into trained preachers and new churches. How amazing is that? You give money here at this church, some of that money goes to the Cats for Christ. And then God takes that money and transforms that money into seed, the seed of the Word of God and the love of Christ being planted in the hearts of young people, college students, who are about to be launched all over the world, ready to conquer the world. Is God awesome? Or what? You give your money here, and then some of that money is given to partner with the Department of Family Protective Services and purchase the pack and plays, the play pens, and then those play pens are planted in the middle of who knows what, some horrific circumstances, but God can take those play pens and transform them into seed planted in the hearts of people in difficult circumstances. You see how this works? Is God amazing or what? See, sometimes I'm afraid we think that we're the ones that do the transforming. It ain't us. It's God. It's Jesus taking something ordinary and routine like money and transforming it into something amazing. Now, I work with EEM. Here's what we do. EEM distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in Eastern Europe and now beyond to anyone who requests, free to all. That's what we do. And the reason that we do this is because we believe in the power of the double-edged sword of the Word of God. Amen? We believe in the power of the seed, which is the Word of God. And we believe, not just because we read about it, but because we have seen it on display over and over again. You know the passage in Ephesians 3, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. I want to report to you today, God is not just able to do, God is doing immeasurably more than all we asked or imagined. We are finding out that Jesus is saying, fill the jars. Fill the jars, not with money this time, not with water this time, but with money. And watch what I can do with it. Let me share a couple examples of that. Most of you know that for the last 10 years now, EEM has been distributing Bibles into public schools in Ukraine at their request, so they can teach Christian values in their public schools using the Bible as a textbook. Can we get an amen or a whoop whoop or something on that? In a former Soviet nation, We have now, at the end of this year, we will have distributed Bibles into 70% of all the public schools in the nation of Ukraine. That's 3.5 million Bibles. We still have a ways to go. Now, money given, Bibles put in schools. We've been doing this for 10 years. After 4 or 5 years of doing that, the data starts coming in. And in the regions that had the Bibles and they started teaching Christian values, overall academic performance, test scores were up, and discipline problems were down. I know, that's a shocker. But isn't that awesome? There's tangible, measurable data proving the power of the Word of God. So the Minister of Education started to take note. At first, this was kind of, okay, whatever, you can do it, but it's an elective, and we don't have any money for Bibles. So this group of educators says, great, no problem. We want it to be an elective, and we know EEM, so no problem. So they started small, and now it has mushroomed and grown into something truly amazing. You give, well, in Ukraine this year in Ukraine, we will distribute more than 250,000 Bibles and Bible-based books, 250,000, just in Ukraine. Most of those in the public schools. Now, you give God some money. That money buys Bibles. And then God takes that and transforms that into increased and improved academic performance. You give money, that money is turned into Bibles, and then God takes that and transforms that into decreased discipline problems in the school. And then, when that happens, if the students are doing better in school and getting in trouble less, then the students are happier, right? And if the students are happier and doing that, then the teachers are happier. And if the students and teachers are happier, then the principals and the administrators are happier. And this goes all the way to the very top of the Ukrainian Ministry of Education. This is the Minister of Education for the nation. Her name is Lilia Horinovich. In a recent interview, she said this: EEM is a great partner in our work of transforming, changing the moral foundation of our country. And it all started with somebody giving a little bit of money. And the money is turned into Bibles. And then God takes that and transforms that into changing the moral foundation of a nation of 50 million people. A former Soviet Union country. How great is our God? Isn't it fun that God invites us to get in on this? And by the way, this is kind of like the seed is planted and then it grows and it matures and then it drops more seed and then the multiplication process begins. Other countries are beginning to hear about this amazing thing going on in Ukraine. Word is spreading and they're going, can we get some of those Bibles in our language? And we're going, absolutely. This year, EEM will distribute Bibles into the public schools of 6 former communist-ruled countries. 250,000 in Ukraine. Yeah, amen. Whoop, whoop. Something. 167,000 in Romania. Man, I wish I had time to tell you about that. 110,000 in Croatia, and doors have opened for more next year. 42,000 plus in Serbia, 30,000 in Hungary, 10,000 more in Bulgaria, 600,000 plus Bibles requested into the public schools of 6 former communist countries. God is on the move. Now, all of this adds up to a little bit of growth in EEM. And another area of this growth, you guys have heard about all the refugees from the Middle East flooding into our backyard, right? Into Europe. that have left because many of their neighborhoods are war zones. Their homes are rubble. They've lived with such hatred and oppression and fear, and they've had it to hear. And they've left just seeking a little peace and freedom. And they come from Afghanistan, they come from Iran, they come from Syria, they come from Iraq, they come from northern Egypt. And a lot of them come through Greece. Greece is kind of like ground zero. They get to the west coast of Turkey, and they get on one of these boats, and they cross a little piece of the Aegean Sea and arrive on the shores of Lesbos Island, Greece. Their first steps on European soil. And what's happening is these refugees are being greeted on the shores as they arrive by Christians. With a bottle of water, blanket, come with us. There's a huge medical tent, completely staffed. They're ready to take your vitals to make sure you're good. And then we have food, we have warm, dry clothes. Let that sink in for a minute. And many of these refugees obviously are Muslim. And they're being greeted on the shores. They left their homes because of oppression and hatred and violence and war and killing and fear. And they've left not knowing anything about what they were about to arrive. When they arrived, they didn't speak the language. They don't know how they're going to be received. But they knew it couldn't be worse than what they left. So they left. And they arrived and are being served and loved by Christians. That's blowing their mind. Blowing their mind. And they ask, how can you do this? You're Christians, right? Yes. How can you do this? We thought you hated us. We were taught to hate you. How can you do this? And they answer, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. It's causing many of these refugees to then ask the question, can you tell me more? Tell me more about this Jesus. And the Christians did at one or two. The problem was they didn't have a Bible to give them in their language. And so EEM started getting calls about 4 years ago. You guys have any Bibles in Arabic or Farsi? The two main languages? Not yet. But we printed a few, a couple thousand in each. Then word got out. We have been supplying Bibles to ministries and churches in 6 different countries, reaching out to Muslim refugees. Over the last 4 years, that's 300,000 plus. And I'm reporting to you, Muslims are coming to Christ by the thousands. How many times in your life have you heard those words? Go ahead, I know the answer. You've never heard them before because it's never happened, but it's happening now. And we, EEM, has been called by God and our partners to start with money and get Bibles to these people that don't have Bibles. And then God takes that and transforms that into Muslims falling in love with Jesus. And then God takes that and transforms that into new, vibrant churches filled with ex-Muslim, now Christians. My wife and I had the privilege and honor to travel to Athens, Greece, kind of ground zero for a lot of this, in June. And we met with many of the leaders of this of a new church that's meeting. They met earlier today, a new church meeting in Athens, Greece, 500-plus Persian church. Farsi-speaking church, over 500. There are baptisms every week in Athens, Greece. You can't make this stuff up. How great is our God? And that's just one of many brand new vibrant churches. And it all started, right? If you would have told me or asked me, if you would have asked me when I was young, growing up, 60s, early 70s, if you would have asked me, who would be the toughest group of people on the planet for God to reach? I would have answered the Soviets, communists, right? If you would have asked any of us on September 12th, 2001, you remember that day? The day after 9/11? Who would be the toughest group of people on the planet for God to reach? We would have answered Muslims. Guess what? Those are the two groups of people that suddenly the doors have opened and EEM is called by God to bring Bibles. These are the two groups of people that where the soil is better than it's ever been. These are the two groups of people that are seeing growth. Churches planted. Foundations of moral foundations of nations changing, etc., etc., etc. Let me translate this into money. God transforms this into unprecedented progress of the kingdom. How great is our God? Let me show you what the growth looks like on a graph, on a chart for you numbers people. In 2011, EEM distributed a total of 189,542 Bibles and Bible-based books. Last year, more than a million. On pace to do 1.1, 1.2. The problem is, that's the numbers in between, you see the growth. The problem is, we're working on fulfilling requests for 1.4 million. That's how wide open the door is. That's the hunger that these people have. We're not going to be able to get all those. I promise we're working on it. Sometimes we feel like God is moving in Eastern Europe and beyond. God is busting down walls and opening doors and charging through the doors and then working and moving. And then sometimes as he's turning around, he's looking at us and he's going, "Hey, are you coming or not?" And we're back there, we're coming as fast as we can. We're trying to catch up. What a great problem, huh? Our problem is not, we got all these Bibles and nobody wants them. That is not our problem. Our problem is keeping up with God. And that's why we need our partners now more than ever. I want to tell you a story to close this morning. You know, it's easy to kind of get caught up in those big numbers, million, a million, 1.4 million. But I don't want us to get caught up on that so much that we forget the power of one of those. Just one Bible. I want to introduce you to a family. This is the Maneri family. You guys know, EEM does dinner events in the spring. We would love to have this whole place at our event in College Station next April. You'll get some information on it very soon. We have so much good news to share. I could go on for 3 or 4 hours. I'm not going to do it, but I could easily. There's so many stories of God moving and working. Invite you to our banquet, our dinner. But 5 years ago, We had one of these in Little Rock, Arkansas, and our VP, Dirk Smith, who does the presentation, had this guy come up to him, David, came up to Dirk and said, "Hey, do you have just a minute for a story?" And Dirk says, "Yeah, I got about 10 minutes. He said, "Okay, great." He said, "My family, my wife and I, are missionaries in Romania. And I'm home on my sabbatical, and my sponsoring church is in Little Rock, and I saw the advertisement for EEM having a dinner. And I grabbed all the staff and the elders said, you have to come over here." He said, "Let me tell you my story." He said, 10 years ago, my wife and I believed that God was calling us to Romania to be missionaries. We were young. You can tell by looking at the picture, 10 years before this. They were young. They didn't have this many kids. And he said, before we moved there, we had people tell us, "Now, you know those people don't have Bibles over there." And we kind of went, "Okay, yeah, we know that. And then we got over there, and we realized they don't have Bibles. You know what I mean? It hit them. No Bibles. How are we going to do this? We found out about EEM. We found out that you guys do those children's Bibles. And we said, we love those. And so we contacted EEM and requested, can you send us a couple hundred of those? And some adult Bibles, the full adult Bible also. How about 200 apiece? And we sent them 300 apiece, free, of course, with a note, you always need more than you think. And he said, part of our strategy when we first started was to take the children's Bibles and hand them out to children in the neighborhood. Take that home, have mom and dad read that for you. That's a children's Bible. And then people would start coming to church. By the way, we have a group that meets over here at this house. We'll put a little note in the Bible, have a group that meets in the house. So that's how they started. And then when somebody became a Christian, they'd give them the full Bible, right? See, that's 10 years before. Okay. Well, things were growing. God was on the move. They outgrew the house where they were meeting. Then they outgrew that house. And then they outgrew the little place they had rented. And people said, why don't we build a building? And so I said, okay, well, getting land in Romania can be a challenge. But God opened a door. They got some land. And then they put together some building plans. And he said, now it's not going to be a church building like a lot of you guys have in America. It'll be more like a community center, and we'll have a lot of things going on during the week. And then, oh, by the way, we have a church that meets over here on Sunday. So we submitted our plans, our building plans, to the equivalent of Building and Zoning Commission or whatever. Submitted those plans. And then suddenly we found out that a complaint had been filed to block our building. And we found out the complaint was filed by the Orthodox Church. They didn't want a competition.
I need three hands. We found out what the situation was, and he said, we didn't know what we were going to do. They have all the money. They have lawyers. We're just a ragtag bunch of nobodies, right? So we said, we'll pray. We're going to pray. So they prayed, and then a few days later, he got a knock on his door, and it's like the sheriff, and he received what was the equivalent of like a subpoena to appear before the zoning commission. And he kind of went, okay, that's how you answer my prayers. Okay. Well, he shows up to the meeting. He brings two elders with him. And they sit down. And then a few minutes later, in walks the Orthodox priest. Full regalia. And right behind him, three lawyers. Expensive suits. And he's thinking, this is crazy. They have the power. Well, the Building and Zoning Commission comes out, and it is headed up by the mayor. The mayor of the city addresses the meeting. He says, thank you for coming. We've invited you here today so that we could inform you of the decision that we've already made. We have made the decision that we're going to deny the complainant and approve the building plans. We think it would be great to have another church in town. Okay, the lawyers shot up over here, started to object, and the priest stood up and started to object, and the mayor said, no, I don't think you understood me. We've invited you here as a courtesy to inform you of the decision we've already made. We think it'll be great to have another church, building plans approved, this meeting is adjourned. And the priest and the lawyers storm out, and David is sitting there, and he's going, what just happened? I didn't say a word. And he said, then people started leaving. And then David said, the mayor pointed at me and he said, no, you stay. Sit. And he said, I tried to grab one of my elders, but they had already ran out the door. And I was by myself. So I sat down, and in just a minute, it was just me and the mayor. And the mayor said, I need to tell you a story. 10 years ago, my granddaughter got one of these. She brought it home. We read it and read it and couldn't believe we were reading Bible stories. Could not believe we had this. We saw the stamp in the back for the people that provided it. We got a full adult Bible. I just want you to know, when you get your building finished, first Sunday, you let me know. My family and I will be there. And if you need anything else, you let me know. $5. Average cost for one book, $5. Do you see what God can do with one? All I can say is, how great is our God? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for revealing yourself to us, for showing us who you are once again. Your amazing power, your majesty, your creative genius, your compassion and love for all people in all nations. Thank you for showing us who you are. Father, I thank you for open doors, and I pray for continued open doors, and that you would give us, Father, the faith and the courage and the energy and the resources to charge through those doors as long as they're open. And Father, I pray for this sweet family of your people here for the Huntsville Church of Christ. And my prayer today is that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in this place among these people, just like it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.